Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
That's you there.
You're there.
There!
No.
Definitely. I expect more from you. Jude, he was in the building. We sold it to him as well as we could, but he knew what he wanted.
Well, Haaland was my next one, to be honest with you. Because you obviously
had him.
You had him.
Yeah. I rang the club, said, you've got to sign this boy.
What kind of money would it have been?
20 million euros.
Bargain.
Yeah, it was my decision. It didn't work out for me, it didn't work out for Cristiano, but it was the right decision at the time.
Did it change your out of possession playing him?
100%. No one said no to be the club captain. It was just in certain games.
So they said, I don't want to be captain for this match.
Premier League and all this is really intense, but if you have too many players, they get unhappy. You went through phases, you, and a phase you were a photographer.
Gary Bailey!
Gary Bailey!
Right, I'm good. I'm organised. I feel we're ready to rock. What the? Look at that. Are they all in? I'll serve the bread.
What we got here,
Gary?
Here
we go.
What's up?
We've got Norwegian stew.
Oh.
And why have we got Norwegian stew?
Because Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's here.
You're right.
Norwegian stew.
Why is it that Norwegian stew is exactly the same as
scouse?
A scouse as like Lancashire hot pot as Irish stew.
Oh, yes.
Apparently, it's mutton now.
Is it mutton?
This is
it mutton dressed as lamb?
This is mutton. Do we have to wear glasses for this?
This is good. Mutton, that smells lovely.
We have. This
get
is
your glasses
the,
out.
So, where is our Norwegian guest?
Where's our Norwegian guest? Hey.
Guys,
how are we?
How are we?
Very good, thank you.
You go, get.
Ollie, we're making you feel at home in Manchester with some Norwegian stew.
Norwegian stew.
Just setting you up, Ollie. Just setting you up.
I know.
This is a starter.
I've watched it.
Is there more?
I've watched this. Please, sir.
You know what? I'm not going to eat bread. Not going to eat bread.
I'm not a bad chef, by the way. I'm all right.
Oh, well, that's good, because these all make the wives cook. That's what they said. They said that they've never cooked a meal in their life.
You know what? You get classed as being sexist for that. No, it's
exactly,
just,
yeah.
It's just like,
yeah, but the thing is, I weren't
allowed... take that out the episode. My wife, that's got to stay.
My wife doesn't want me cooking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're getting away. They want to do that.
Yeah, I don't want to cook.
This is really nice. Did you make this?
Wow.
This is really nice.
It's a lovely stew.
This is really nice.
Oh, wow. Lovely.
Ooh.
We're on a team, yes?
Beautiful. Yeah. There's more there for you, boy.
Fine mash.
Good for Ian, so he won't be hungry with us.
I'm not angry.
Later on.
I don't get angry now.
You got angry on the jungle, didn't you?
Yeah.
Was that food? Is that just to do with food?
You know what? It's food tired. And they're putting you in a situation where you are getting more and more tired and annoyed. Yeah. James, that plate's going to fall off, bro.
To further enhance the Norwegian experience.
Right.
Yeah.
It's apparently
that's Norwegian.
Apple.
It's a famous Norwegian apple juice apparently that's very good. Is that right?
Apple.
I don't know how famous it is. It's Helgea.
don't know how long it's
is
been.
It, is it popular?
Who knows?
We've been told it's popular.
Can we have a taste? Give us a taste, girl.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
absolutely, everyone's on a taste.
It's easy to talk around you.
We make people feel welcome. We make people feel welcome.
Thank you. As he's the guest as well, no discussion about chances he missed or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Can I read out a couple of texts?
Wow, that's really good. That, really
that looks like it's been sitting there a while.
I'll read out a couple of texts. Let's have our pie first, shall we?
Yeah.
I thought this was the main course.
I did as well.
No, this is the... it's not a Norwegian pie, it's a steak pie.
Start with Ollie.
Oh, cheers.
Ollie.
Thank you.
Wow.
This is
Jill.
This is from Hotel Football. Yeah. No, I've actually had this dish.
Is it?
Thank you. That for me.
Jamie, I like them glasses on you, bro.
Yeah. The square ones.
They've got a little Tom Ford vibe about me. From yeah. I love that.
They're a lot cheaper than the Tom Ford tops.
They're really cool on you, James.
Keep them.
Yeah, I love the square. You've got to go square, James. Don't let no one take you away from square.
Why am I square and why are you round?
Because you see, your head kind of goes up like that, so then it comes out a bit here. So you want the glasses to come across, whereas my head's round. So the round glasses, they've smaller fit on and that looks better. If you put round glasses on, it wouldn't look right.
No.
Always go with that square, or even that nice that little block. Yeah, it look cool. They look cool on you, bro. And I like your beard and that. You look really handsome. Ian. These are not big enough on you, wide enough. You need the flimsy.
You know what they look? They look weak.
They're not my best glasses. Yeah.
You know what, girl?
You know what? They're Chelsea in extra time. These are Chelsea in the 90 minutes. Yeah, these are Chelsea in 90 minutes. Chelsea in extra time.
No, can I just say that these are my wearing glasses I just carry around with me. I've got other glasses.
Yeah, but then what, get some that's really cool. You could get some nice shades now.
Oh, this looks like really a proper cool pie, this.
Yeah.
Do you not like them?
I want you to put more thought into it, girl.
Next time I come in, I will
sort out
glasses.
It's like the way you park. Like I say, the way you park. You know what I mean? It's just like you don't care.
Yeah. The lads are so disappointed up there with the pie. You know,
they'll be someone
watching us eating.
They look like pie eaters, don't they?
Oh, yeah, let me change my glasses.
Guys, how's Phil doing?
He's enjoying it.
Yeah.
He won the first game. Have you thought about going over to America?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I went last, October. Spoke to a few
people. Would you take a job? Yeah. Would you take a job over there?
Just to see. Yeah, I think I would.
We're at Disneyland.
Wow, what a good pie.
It's like the change. It's brutal, that. Would you feel happy over there, though, in America?
I don't know. You know?
you don't know.
You don't know before you try, do you?
No. Oh, no. Good answer, Ollie. How nice is this pie, by the way?
It's a great
really
pie.
Nice.
You're a great pie.
You must be our most important guest, because we don't usually eat like this.
We don't normally eat like this. And obviously, it's a Man United bias.
Well, there was a bit of upset on the text group that the time was pushed back a little bit for you. It was a bit...
What was there?
Not me, mate. Not me,
I thought you meant when you announced the guest.
Yeah,
we have a four.
He said, who do you think said, I don't like being messed around, but I'm a team player.
What's the age difference between you two?
You won't believe that.
You're a year older than me?
I'm born 73. You're 71. 71, yes.
Wow.
2 years.
But that's what I couldn't believe it when he came to United. He sat next to me in the dressing room for 12 years.
I've sat next to him every day.
And he came in for seeing this, like, it was a jumper, a bit Norwegian like that, with like loads of wool on it. And I thought, and he was older than me. I was like, he ain't old.
I know, he never looked old.
No.
Ollie, always looked
51. No, Ollie, look, your first couple of days, you must have looked, I swear, 12. Mm. He was sitting there going, what's this kid doing here? I thought he was going to get some photographs.
I remember that comment.
Believe it.
He wasn't really scoring more goals than you in training.
You're a striker.
That's the only thing you need to do.
Yeah, but what about the chance against Leverkusen?
You said you weren't going to mention that.
It's a target.
Have we got that on? Can we get the Leverkusen chance on video so we can actually have a look at it?
It's on that blooper stuff, isn't it? You know when people...
It's a massive chance.
Danny Baker or something.
I'm going to read out a text.
Yous are so negative, though. All the goals he scored and then you pick up on the one chance he
missed. Yeah, but that's the banter. That's the dressing room. You always go into the negative.
That's the dressing room.
You want to slaughter people rather than love them.
So I just said, I asked obviously all to move the time. So Roy's reply was, "What? We all change our schedule for Ollie." I don't like being messed around, and I'm not a fan of shifting dates and times to please people.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? You're doing it on purpose, aren't you?
Hope you're well.
And then he replied, he's obviously, he calmed down a little bit. He said, I want to grill Ollie on missing the target in the last minute of the Champions League semi-final, the egg. And then Ollie replied to me, so I sent it to Ollie, I thought I'd just fizz it up a little bit.
Lovely, nice private text, I guess.
I'll come on, even just to put the record straight on the Leverkusen match with Roy. He should have closed down there, goal scorer. So I just thought, Ollie, I might as well send it back to you to see how that went down.
Okay, yeah, cheers.
Ollie can go fuck himself. I covered about 20k that night with a pulled hamstring, and he can't hit the target from 8 yards. Right, he'd have scored it.
That was your problem. You should have stayed in the middle, close the goal scorer
see,
down.
See, you know, Ollie. Just you tell him,
left,
bro.
You were left wing. You were left wing. Yeah, you were.
Have we got it? Brilliant.
Here we go.
Is this the chance?
Well, Ollie missed, and then.
Ollie missed. Well, right, there you go. Even he said it.
I know it's a big
miss. Ollie
miss. I know it's a big miss.
This is the Ollie miss, right?
It's the last minute.
That's not a bad miss.
It's coming. This is the miss.
Decent touch, but.
Ollie. That's you know what? Really
the only thing that's surprising
about that miss. That's a bad miss.
It's just Ollie's leaning back. I would have been very surprised that Ollie's missed that.
I know the people you let down there.
It's not a bad miss.
Oh, it's just.
It's not a bad miss.
I don't think it's.
You know, it's a good touch. Oh, look.
That's the thing.
This is the one before.
If that was for Roy, his left foot. It would have bounced
off. Would you say
off.
That's half a chance?
A that
is a half chance. That's a chance. Half a chance. Only because of how Ollie finished. That, yeah, of course. That's why he's probably disappointed. Because it was a good touch and finish.
See, he's not even on the replay.
Yeah, of course not.
So Diego's...
They've gone with the Diego ball.
Because the cameraman is in shock.
Are we going to show this?
Right, so this is the... Ollie, this is your retort. This is the Oliver Neuville. So
Neuville. Neuville, yeah.
Neuville, equaliser.
Have you got to decide who's more at fault?
What's Roy following it?
Where's Roy?
He's with him. On the left. Oh, no. Yeah.
There's Roy.
Yeah. No, dangling his leg here now. Get up to him. This pass, get up to him.
So
where am I here? Why are you left wing here? There.
That's where you are. You're coming across now.
I'm doing a job for the team.
Right, here you come across.
Intensity, move your legs.
No, lads.
Is that you?
No, lads.
Guys, that's not let
me.
It go.
That can't be you.
You can see
I thought I was near the guy taking the shot.
Quicker,
no. That's not you.
Get from behind and go, we get this one.
So where's he go? Who's gone out there? Is that...
Who's that?
Is that you?
Who's number four?
Laurent Blanc.
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 He should have gone.
Yeah.
There we go.
Deodora.
You look at everything in slow motion, looks weird.
Look at you.
There it is.
That's not me. That one's not you. Fabian there. That's a good goal, to be honest.
Are you a little bit disappointed with yourself on that, Roy?
No, truthfully, I think I'm a pretty honest guy. That's not me.
It was a home game that killed us.
Yeah.
Remember?
2-2, yeah.
Veron's chance inside of the post, inside of the other post, counter attack, instead of 3-1, 2 each.
What was the score? What was the score in the second leg?
1-1.
Who scored? I came off after 1-1.
I scored now.
Why did
you? Can we
you
see
come
my
off?
Goal, Gary?
Did you score?
We haven't got that.
Yes, I did, Jill.
Did you?
Can we see the goal? We haven't got that right. Of course you haven't.
Let's show Ollie's winner.
All righties goals.
Let's show Ollie's winner in the 1999 channel. Yeah. Let's show that one.
Let's
dig him out
again.
that was pure reaction.
Yeah,
man.
You can't just live off that, can he?
Yeah, you can.
Jesus, he's milking that.
So, oh, I can't just live off that.
My chance was bigger than I thought. I remember.
Yeah.
You know, if you
never admit to that, Roy, I would never admit to that.
Did any of you look at the clock? The chance he missed. Did you see what minute it was?
87.
Was it?
So you're in the final. You're true.
Yeah.
So
in Real Madrid, Hampden Park.
So we bottled it.
Yeah. Bottled it. That was the Zidane.
Were you playing there, Neb?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Ollie done you a lot of favour that year.
The first leg against Leverkusen, I broke my foot in the after 20 minutes.
Metatarsal.
Yeah, it went off.
Well, you're just copying Bex.
Indeed.
Exactly. Yeah.
That one, so he won it.
Never heard of metatarsal before, Bex.
Right. I want a metatarsal.
He owned his mistake, though. You don't own up to yours.
I thought you should have closed him down
quicker.
If your hamstring was hanging off, you might.
I think that maybe a little bit quicker to the ball.
No.
What minute was that goal, Ollie? What minute was the Neuville goal?
Neuville goal.
It was first half.
You're on about away goals. We went last out on away goals.
It was the 45th minute. Dortmund
away goals. Half time. The last two semi-finals on away goals.
We went 1-0 up, didn't we?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I remember watching it at home, to be fair. It was a killer, that.
I missed the first leg. I was up my hamstring.
Is that why you referred to running 20K with a sore hamstring?
Not sore, pulled.
Pulled.
Cheers.
Right,
thank you.
Gary, what's up?
Right, we're on. Welcome to Stick to Football, brought to you by Skybet. And this week we're joined by a Manchester United legend who we played with, me and Roy, for many, many years, but also went on to become the Manchester United manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Ollie, thank you for coming on.
It was about time I said yes now.
Yes.
Has he been on to you for a while?
Yeah, he has been. I was driving down to Oslo and my missus sitting next to me, and it's like, answer him, please. Just say yes.
Answer him, please.
It was horrible driving conditions, icy roads. I was thinking, fucking hell, last thing I'm doing this. okay then. That's why it was just stop and start then. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, we've got you, Ollie.
Great.
We're happy to see you.
It seemed like a good idea.
At the time.
I went to visit you last year, didn't I?
You did?
Drove 8 hours to see you.
To be honest.
Go and talk to us about that, Roy, because I remember you telling me that. I was rolling.
He's been on about it for years and years. Yeah. I'm coming over, so obviously.
Yeah, we fancied a trip. Obviously, I know he was feeling a bit low. I thought I'd obviously cheer him up. And
Roy Keane coming to cheer.
That's when you know your people.
Nice one, done well.
So yeah, I drove. It was lovely.
The thing is, you need to know, getting to Kristiansund is not the easiest.
Absolutely not. Jesus,
he wasn't going to come. No chance he's coming. Fly to Oslo, and then
I drove up.
You want me to help you to organise the next bit? No, I'll be fine. I'll drive. So no chance he won't drive. Monday morning, about 7 o'clock or whatever, you text, I'm on my way.
Uh-huh.
Fuck's sake.
Well, how long's the drive?
8-9 hours.
8-9 hours, round. Oh, nice Volvo estate.
Yeah.
Boom. Beautiful.
Beautiful news.
No, it was lovely. No, my first wife was with me. That was beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was lovely. No, we'd loved a few days.
Did you stay overnight in Ollie's house or did you stay in a hotel?
Steady on.
No.
He recommended a few hotels, you know what I mean? One of them ones.
It's not that big.
But no. Out in your boat, you look after us on his little boat. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Nice and quiet.
He was
watched doing a couple
nice
of coaching
show.
Sessions. Yeah, went down to see your...
He came to see our team, under-14s.
Yeah.
So all the lads, of course, they forget me.
Of course.
Everyone has pictures with Roy.
Yeah.
Did he give them pictures?
Did he do them?
Sometimes
he
said them. I don't know. You need a couple.
Two.
And then...
yeah. Yeah. I think it was two.
A few years.
The papers were coming and everything.
Another Erling Haaland coming along.
Ollie was doing a couple of sessions. I wasn't sure about the sessions he was doing, but no, gaps everywhere. But anyway,
Ollie, a year or so ago, obviously, you left. You know, two years ago now. You left United.
Yeah.
And you've just been sort of, you've started just relaxing, taking time out, reflecting on obviously how big a job it was for you. And stuff.
I needed time out and have properly enjoyed it. Just prioritised myself, family. And had a few offers.
Yeah.
I'm not ready. It's one of them. It's got to be somewhere that I can be myself. Mm. Not like anyone dictating, you need to do this, you need to do this. Because when you've been at United, you've managed them. You learn a few things and you want to do it your way the next time. So, yeah, but I'm enjoying myself. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You feel, I don't really need a job. But then if something pops up, why not?
Obviously, I remember your last interview that you did with MUTV, and it was one of the most sort of emotional interviews I've ever seen when a manager leaves a football club.
Yeah.
Did it hit you hard in that first few months?
It hit me hard the first day.
Did it?
Because I knew the day before, absolutely 100%, at half-time against Watford, I knew, that's it. So the team talk at half-time was about whoever wants to play. Can play, get your hand up if you don't want to play. Made a few changes, a couple of the lads actually in tears, and they had a go. And then after the game, I knew, but didn't hear anything. But I still knew. And next morning, you get a text, I want to see you in my office.
Yeah.
So I knew. I just left my missus at the airport, and then text her, I think I'll be coming back with you. And... I took about 5 minutes with Ed and then stayed and spoke to some of the lads and did an interview because I needed to do it properly because I've always seen managers when they leave is like 2 months later you slag someone off or something. Yeah. That's not me.
No.
I'm like, no, I want to do it now. Tell everyone I'm proud and privileged and move on.
When you said that you knew at half-time, was that through something that had been said to you previously? Or
no,
was it just through a feeling?
It was just a feeling.
The overwhelming
You get there, the players, some of them stop running, stop believing. That's maybe the biggest word. They didn't believe that and didn't care, maybe. And it's just one of them that there's no point for me trying to get this changed. It's just that, you know, it was come to a point. We'd lost to Liverpool 5-0 and lost to City 2-0 at home in two games. And in between, they would beat Tottenham 3-0 away. But those two home games, it's like, I always looked at them and said, we need to be Man United. Try to be Man United. Don't defend. Don't be counter-attacking. Just let the players fit or go out there, go toe-to-toe with them, because if not, there's no point being at Man United. You've got to, at some point, you need to take that, can we take the next step? And we weren't ready, just not good enough.
But do you feel going toe-to-toe, was it, in hindsight, you're saying going toe-to-toe, and I think that's great, and we all have, again, we've mentioned it many times, it's great to have this plan.
Yeah.
But if you're up against it, I think sometimes I kind of go back to it, what's wrong with sitting in, even if you're Man United? Especially if the teams are in a better place than you were at that particular time.
If those two games were away from home, you'd be much more comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
Old Trafford, we've signed Cristiano, signed Varane, signed Jadon Sancho. The big, what I look at it, is like we went 4-4-2 against, or 4-2-3-1 against Liverpool. And 5-3-2 against City. Should have switched them two over. You look at it now and say, yeah, that's...
I agree with you, Ollie, in that it's probably a little bit similar to what Man United are sort of doing now with Erik ten Hag, that you've had success as you did initially. You know, you get second, you get to semi-finals, you're sort of nearly there. But to make that next step, you've got to not just take them on, it's a one-off game, but almost become more than a counter-attacking team. You've got to be, as you say, you've got to be the dominant team. That's what I feel probably Man United are right now, actually. Yeah. Can you take that next step to be that type of football? Is that what you were thinking? Because, as you say, you're bringing superstars in, really, aren't you? Varane, Champions League winner, World Cup winner, obviously Ronaldo as well.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I was thinking. I can't be... Because there's a chance you're going to lose anyway. Those two Liverpool and City, two of the best teams in the world the last 4 or 5 years. Absolutely the top teams. There's a chance you're going to lose anyway. If you lose without having a go, it's like, what's the point? I know what you mean, Roy.
But sitting in, again, this idea of sitting in, to me, doesn't mean to say you're not having a go. It's just you're having a go at the right times.
But the thing was, the players also felt, and maybe wrongly so, thought we're a better team than just defending.
They were.
There weren't players who the main strength was counter-attacking and running and digging in. We've got to be honest. Mm-hmm. And the previous years, you had players like Andreas Pereira, Dan James, you had Jesse Lingard, you had players who could run all day for you. And it's easier to set up a team and beat City.
You beat City quite a few times.
Away from home. Yeah. But
was there more pressure to beat teams at home? Did you feel like you had to be the aggressor?
At United, you have a responsibility as well for the fans to enjoy the game. You don't just go and get a result. And I felt
But isn't it strange? Sorry, Ollie. It strange that we sit here and we go, I'm comfortable playing the counter-attack away from home. Yeah. But I still think the mindset should be, even if you're a big club, I don't care if it's Real Madrid or Dortmund or Bayern Munich, wherever, sitting in a home, why does it... I'm not just talking about your situation. No. Yeah. But there is... It's easy away from home, but you should be at home as well, because I think this idea of picking teams off and playing under counter-attack, if you're not as good as the opposition, I think there's nothing wrong with that. I appreciate there's always pressure on Man United to be the dominant team and have more possession, but why is it... we'll do it away from home, but not so much at home. And I just don't mean your situation. I've seen it with other clubs.
For me, though, and for this team, it was time to see where we're at.
Right, OK.
Are we ready to take the next step? And that was the decision I made. So the first half against Liverpool, strangely enough. It's like 50-50 possession-wise. It's we create a few decent chances.
You have a massive chance at nil.
We had massive. Mason Greenwood, I think. Cristiano had a half decent chance, but then that first, I think it's the first goal. Firmino's turn and twist and just avoided the offside is like top class.
Top draw, yeah.
So and that.
But you've already had your plan, and if they get the first goal, but you're not going to change quickly. And then Liverpool then start. And listen, we're talking about bloody good teams here, and
they will
kick you off. Yeah, of course.
But yeah.
Ollie, so basically what I think you're saying there is almost you've come in, you've stabilised it, you've moved it on, you're getting results against big teams as well. And so do you feel basically you couldn't win the biggest trophies playing how you had at the start? That was about stabilising, getting your Manchester United to a certain level. And you do have to change. That's not just Manchester United. Any team right now to compete with a City, a Liverpool, Arsenal right now.
No, you... You need to take the. You need to dominate games. You need to dominate against the big teams. You need to be comfortable trying to beat, defend low blocks. You need to play and keep possession. But you need to be able to run as well. As Roy says, sit in at times and dig in. And that understanding or that didn't work in those. Oh, there was a bad. It was a bad 6 weeks.
Like the game plan kind of still feeling like you're in control even though you haven't got the ball and then picking your times to go. Do you think the lads could...
We did have that feeling even 2 weeks before, Tottenham away. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad result, 3-0. Cristiano, Cavani up front, they were unbelievable.
Yeah, I remember the game,
Is that when you went with...
We went 5-3-2 with Cristiano and Edinson up front. Yeah. And it seemed to work. That's why we kept that. Yeah. In the next game against City, then we scored a daft own goal early on, and then you're struggling then to play that way against City because you're not going to touch the ball.
When you look back, Ollie, in terms of you said about learnings, what would you say the key learnings were of your sort of time at United back there as a manager?
How long have you got? loads.
Stay here all day, to be fair. No, but the big ones. The ones,
so many things.
What could I have done differently? What would I have directed differently or looked for from above differently?
There's so many decisions. Obviously, you come in, you get the remit of smiles back on people's faces, fans' faces, players enjoying themselves. Then you... The owners, they knew that we didn't invest enough. They asked me to be patient and then just take one step at a time. And
did you feel that they had any intentions of actually you being patient and they're going to do something to help you do what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I think so. And it felt like it that summer when we signed Rafael, Jaden and Cristiano. Right. It's like, take the next step.
Right.
But then the team has to play that way as well. So, obviously, the recruitment has been talked about so many times. And when you come in, you agree to, because you sign a contract, you agree to how they want to do it, and you're going to do it to the best of your ability. I wanted to, I tried to change it gradually, little by little, because at times you need to sign young players that you haven't really scouted, or you haven't got 8 reports on or 20 reports on. Little things.
Mm-hmm. People talk about, we speak about that a lot, you know, United's recruitment. So was it more of a case when you said you signed the contract that almost they were more in charge? Because right now it feels as if it's more like Erik ten Hag, certainly for the last 18 months
has almost been in charge.
How was it for you?
You sign a deal wherever you take a job, like when you sign up, you sign up to something and, of course, you've got bosses. And it wasn't like David Gill and Sir Alex Ferguson when they two just ran the whole thing. There was more departments above me that I had to go through to get decisions made. And I was happy enough to...
Would they present players to you and say, OK, we're looking for a right winger, we're looking for a centre-forward. You've got to choose one from this five? Or would you say to them, I want this player?
The scouting process was very thorough and maybe too thorough. Stop speaking English as well, you know, when you're in Norway. And then obviously I come up with names as well when you watch players, but they've got to be really well scouted. And then we sit And then I've got veto, the scouts have got veto, the owner, obviously, who pays, pays the check.
We talked about that a few weeks ago, about veto, who has the veto. So you're talking about multiple vetoes right the way up the chain.
So you never, I never signed a player that I didn't want.
OK. Mm.
And the scouts never said yes to a player they didn't want. And obviously the owner or Ed, they never signed players that they weren't comfortable signing.
But Ed wouldn't have a veto.
No, Ed didn't.
A financial veto, maybe.
But it was this, the scouts and the manager.
Well, but just specifically, because it's a little bit of a sort of a... It's a bit mystical about what actually Manchester United's structure's been over the last 10 years. Who is sat in the room when you're signing a player? Who is sort of, if you like, who is responsible for finding the players? How involved is the manager in that? How does it work?
Well, the manager watches all the players, obviously, and there's multiple lists and all the scouts. I don't know how many scouts they've employed, but I don't think there's many players they miss having reports on.
So they're all on the list, basically.
Yeah. And then they pick five. Who are we going to sign? Obviously, he will be 100 million, he's 70, he's 50, 30, 20. And then it depends on the budget. And it's all sorts. And then you meet players, and then, I like his attitude. I don't like his attitudes. Yes, no.
There was a point where I remember texting you. I don't know if you remember where I said, you need to spend their fucking money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it got to the point where I thought you weren't getting supported. And I've never texted anybody in football about that type of thing. But I've obviously known you sat next to you in the dressing room. I just thought, you need to spend that fucking money quickly because you need some players, you know what I mean?
We need the players, And to be fair...
Spend it wisely.
Yeah, obviously. Not as in, like, just, you know, frivolously, just absolutely. He needed to bring players in, it was obvious.
You needed to have the right players. Yeah. And I felt gradually, you know, being second and third in my two full seasons, I thought we had improved really well ahead of Liverpool, behind City both seasons. And it was about the next step. Are we ready for it?
Yeah, but that's the hardest one. Yeah. That was the hardest one.
When we started that season, the owners and they all agreed. We got the fourth best squad because Liverpool, City, we felt Chelsea had a better squad than we had. And it was Champions League again that was the target.
You were told that was the target, were you?
I'm 100% sure that we would have if I'd stayed that season. Yeah. Absolutely sure, because what happened after I left didn't really improve things. But that's...
Sorry, Joe.
No, I was just going to say, who were some players that you wanted that you didn't get? Because there was rumours of Declan Rice, maybe.
Yeah, I really, really like him as a player. We've discussed him a few times. I think we would have done well with him in midfield. I think his legs, covering the pitch, I think he improved a lot on his playmaking as well.
Was he available at the time, Ollie?
Yeah. But obviously, he would have cost some money, but we could have and should have gone for him.
Yeah. The big ones, Ollie, that sort of stand out for me are just, you know, in terms of recruitment, the big ones are Bellingham, who was in the
building. He knew what he wanted, and Jude, he was in the building. You can't ask for a lot more for a midfielder because I was there, obviously, as the manager. Sir Alex was there. Mm. Roy should have been there, but you weren't. But Brian Robson was there and Cantona was there that day when he came to the club.
Wow.
So we all spoke to him and, of course, we sold it to him as well as we could, but he knew what he wanted. X amount of minutes in the first team. That's it. The most mature... He was 17 at the time. Yeah. Most mature 17-year-old I've ever met in my life. He had it planned out. Yeah.
But do you think it's a bit much for a player to go to a club and have four or five people?
No, but that's because you're talking about the level of player that they wanted.
Yeah, they were just there that day.
I could have put those Avengers together, I would have done the same thing.
I don't know. The thing is, it was coincidental.
I understand that Robbo and
Eric were there just by coincidence.
But he wasn't going to sign for Man United because he met Cantona and Brian Robson. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if that would be... Just because you're going
to a club. Yeah, but we're talking about a 17-year-old. If you're going to see Rob... Whether they're there by accident or not, if you're going to see Robson, obviously you didn't make it. Robson, Alex Ferguson, Cantona.
But what difference with them? When I was signing for Man United, meeting Bobby Charlton and these people wouldn't have made a difference to my decision making. Mm. You know the history. The
obviously,
club.
I sat down and spoke.
Of course,
to him.
You're the manager. You're going to meet him.
Him and his dad, his mum.
But imagine if he signed. He said, "Why did you sign? Because I met Brian Robson and Eric Cantona today." Well,
it's just kind of garnish, Roy.
Why didn't he sign? Because Roy Keane didn't pay.
If Roy came, I would have signed.
If you'd been there, Bellingham would be at United.
Yeah, but the thing is, like,
that's my point. He knew what he was doing. He was a mature.
I think with Bellingham and Haaland, I think they know how good they are. They've almost got their careers mapped out. Because I think of the way Haaland moved to sort of Salzburg, then it's Dortmund. Yeah.
Well, Haaland was my next one, to be honest with you. Because you obviously
I had him.
You had him.
Yeah, and I had him in Molde for about 18 months. Mm. Yeah, 18, no, two seasons, more or less. And the summer before I got here, we're in Manchester.
Yes.
I rang the club, said, "You've got to sign this boy. He'll be top, absolutely top class." That was June, July. 18, and they said no, they had enough reports, so okay, no problem. Then I become the temporary caretaker. Then we'd sold him to Salzburg. I tell the club straight away, buy him straight away before he's plays for them, because he didn't play for them for 3 or 4 months. Just sign him now, because he's got a release clause. Yeah. We knew, and no one else then would have paid that money.
What kind of money would it have been?
20 million euros. So...
bargain.
Yeah. And it would have been a bargain. Yeah, it would. And maybe at that time, even though with his links with Alfie and City and Leeds, maybe I think he would have thought...
You're looking at me, far.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
You wouldn't have brought Roy to meet him, would you, if he was coming over?
Did you then say the actual report of the scouts?
Yeah, I've got it.
What I'm trying to say is... The scouting report of Erling Haaland, they felt he wasn't at the level of Manchester United, or Erling Haaland thought that was too big a jump. Whose decision was not to?
No, it was the club's decision to not go for him then.
The club?
It wasn't a money issue.
The
scouting department.
Yeah, we never made bids or never went in for him until after they realised when he started scoring for Salzburg. Mm. But then Dortmund were there, Juventus were there, everyone was there.
What was his price tag then? A lot more.
There was another release clause that was not bad.
Oh, okay.
Right.
60.
But you look back, Ollie, you're on the boat. Like, could you think sometimes a manager, not everybody gets every player they're after, but could you have like, been stronger going, he is like.
I've had him for 18 months, you sign him.
You've had inside him
because you know them. Mm-hmm. And you know.
You were fighting your corner from that point of view.
Yeah. You know that kid. He gives everyone so much energy. He's such a great lad. You just see him smiling and
another
so
great
happy.
Lad. Yeah, we like great lads.
No, but he's got more than just being a great lad, because he's such a team player. And one-on-one with the keeper, he doesn't think about his own stats. Mm. He passes if someone else is like, I can give it you and it's 100% goal.
Yeah.
He's a gem.
In terms of sort of obviously identifying players has been a problem, or even in your case, not. But is getting a deal over a line a problem as well? As in, you want a player and then... Well, or do you think getting a deal over... Do you think they overpaid? I mean, they overpaid quite a bit.
I think that's some... Yeah, you got the extra percentages because you're United. Yeah. I think it's been for many, many years. And that's just unfortunate when you've had money. So, but I was never in those discussions.
Ollie, could I ask you about Ronaldo coming in?
Yeah.
Because that was a big talking point. I mean, we debated that, didn't we, about, you know, the fit for United at the time, and it felt like it came from nowhere.
Yeah.
Was that a sign that was almost, he's available, he's presented to you, we can't say no? Because how would that have worked with the dynamic of the
team? It was a very quick decision. And we didn't think Cristiano was available and didn't think he was going to move. When it came apparent that he was leaving Juventus, obviously there was... other clubs wanted him. I was excited, so I said yes. They asked me, would you want us to try this? And I said, yeah, because obviously we know Cristiano, his quality. And I thought, yeah, he's 37, but we'll have to manage, because obviously he's the best goal scorer in the world. Mm. And it was my decision. It didn't work out for me, it didn't work out for Cristiano, but it was the right decision at the time.
I'm trying to think of when he came into the... Had the season started or just
we'd,
before?
We'd played four or five games. We started really well.
So what I'm saying is that summer you mentioned before about you felt that was the summer to make the next step. I think Sancho comes in, Varane, maybe somebody else. When you buy someone so late and you're not expected, have you not almost built something in pre-season and you've sort of started the season and a vision of where your team's going to go?
Yeah, definitely. So we started off straight away, obviously. How are we going to press? How are we going to change the little tweaks? Because Cristiano is different to Martial, who was up front, or if you're going to play Mason or Marcus up front. So we had to change a little bit, obviously. Cavani. So he was the one that suffered the most, Cavani, that when Cristiano came in. We'd played and we'd got Edinson into a certain way of understanding the way we played. And it just, that first game, you thought, yeah, it's going to work this, because Cristiano. And obviously, Cristiano's, when you played with him, you know him, you speak to him. He wanted to play 3 out of 4 games because he realised he's getting older as well. But then when you leave him out once, he's not happy, is he?
Yeah.
Or the gaffer's not happy, or Sir Alex is not happy, and all these little videos come out, and then, you know,
a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Did it change you out of possession playing him
100%.
In terms of his age? Yeah. And did you have to alter all that as well? Because that's a big thing, isn't it?
That was the biggest thing. Because with the ball, with him in the team, no problem. But without him, we had to change a little bit and different roles. And we'd gotten used to, we were one of the highest pressing teams, actually, before. And we had loads of energy. Obviously, we'd left Dan James go when Cristiano came in. So it's two different types of players. It was the right decision to make for me. It didn't turn out to be the right one.
Just that point, you mentioned the first full two seasons. Obviously, the first 6 months was amazing when you sort of came in. Then you had that two seasons where second and third and you get Champions League football. Was the biggest moment, I just felt when the Europa League final lost to Villarreal, did that hit hard? Was that like a big moment that you feel that sort of like carried into the next season a little bit?
I think so, yeah. Obviously, if you'd been sat there with a trophy, that'd be different in the ways of the ownership thinking we need a change and you've got that little leeway. But for me, I've always said this, any FA Cup or Carling Cup or whatever it is, Carabao Cup or Europa League or something, that might just hide other problems.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
If you do well in the league, that's where you see a team's progress. And we got second and third. And that was, for me, the main thing.
Yeah, but it would give you a bit of breathing space.
Yeah, I think so, 100%.
I think that's what it is. A trophy for a big club like that. Yeah. You see managers, you saw Marino when he first goes in, and even Arteta, you get that first trophy, and it just gives the perception of a man. Even for you, Ollie, people look and go, all right, can we try? And we're always on about getting over the line.
100%.
Getting that trophy, whether you rate the competition or what. It's there, and it just gives you that.
It's a little bit for Poch, isn't it, with the Chelsea game? You go back to that, you know, just find a way.
You rate the competition when you win it. When you don't, you're like, it's just the rubbish.
It's one of them.
You love the Charity Shield, you want
it. Five of them.
Ollie, just take it. I mean, we're going a bit sort of back a little bit, but take us back to the start of when you got the job and Jose had just been in. What did you find when you first went in? You mentioned before about getting it smiling. What did you find in the dressing room?
Obviously, the players lost games, they weren't happy, they weren't playing well, low in confidence, and it was just, first thing, we go in, just talk about, just be Man United, express us. I was going to be there for 4 months, so I was just going to make them enjoy playing football and enjoy running forward, playing forward, play like Man United teams should do. I remember Ashley Young's comment when we walked out of that meeting. I just hear him behind me, thank fuck we're talking about being Man United again. Because I think maybe there's been a few managers before talking about what they did at other clubs.
Right, OK.
I think so. Anyway, that's for another day.
No, it's for today.
But, just bring smiles back on faces. Mm. Even the staff, supporters. It was a Christmas do the first day I signed, actually. Everyone was pissed up and we just made an appearance that first night and everyone was happy. Mm. And it was just the first 10 games we did well and gave belief, which I feel now, you know, with the new ownership and there's more belief around the word, that buzz a little bit. Changes are always or sometimes good.
Yeah, you mentioned one of the most sort of incredible things that I've heard you say since you left, and you've not done many interviews, was around that a couple of players had said that they didn't want to be captain. We always talk about leadership, don't we, at Manchester United? Where are the leaders? Where are the people who have sort of got... And I'm trying to get into a situation whereby how do you get to a point in your career as a football player where you don't think it's a good idea to take the captaincy of one of the greatest clubs
in the
world?
But that wasn't... No one said no to be the club captain. It was just in certain games.
So they said, I don't want to be captain for this match?
Yeah. But they didn't want to say it themselves. They've got other people coming up to me and say that.
Wow. So what, their representatives?
Hey?
They're representing?
Other coaches.
The lads, like, coaches.
Like, as you do, you don't go up to the manager, do you, yourself? You get someone else to do it for you. So
do they?
That was a bit disappointing.
Oh, No, you don't.
We didn't.
No.
It's a different generation. And it is a complete...
What do you think
Generation
of that,
Z, Gen yeah. Z, you
what,
know...
What do you think when they done that, Ollie, and then someone comes up, what's your initial reaction to...
No, it's like,
he
wow.
actually doesn't want to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's petty. Two, it's like...
Lacks ambition.
Do you think that says
gossip? Do you know what it makes me feel? It makes me feel a little bit... It makes me feel a bit worried for them, in the sense that what state of mind are they in to actually turn down one of the greatest sort of accolades that you can possibly have? And actually, I don't think of it as being, they're weak. Or I think they must be really in a bad place to actually be shrinking almost.
To bottle it.
But the thing is, it's strange, and I don't think we would understand, but so many players, or many players, said no to do the pre-match interview. So you had always the go-to.
The three questions. I mean,
three questions.
I mean...
But you have the go-tos. Yeah. Bruno always did it, Harry always did it, Victor did it, Scott McTominay did it. Yeah, David did it.
Yeah.
Luke Shaw did it. So you have the same, but the other, I'm worried about the questions before, so I prefer not to do it. It's like...
Ollie, do you think that is them as individuals or just the negativity around, actually, you know, it's Manchester United, everything I say, everyone picks up on it.
I think it's
actually scared of criticism.
It's a bit of both. Yeah. It's a bit of both, because you're scared of the whole reaction, maybe. But you understand players, the mental health, some of them, I've dealt with more mental health problems in staff and players than could be... I couldn't say anything of that here.
Imagine a young kid and then you're getting the captaincy of Man United. It's a dream come true. Yeah. Like, it's really sad that that's where kind of the game had gone
it's
to.
Scared.
Do you know what
it
I mean?
Is.
Like, scared to take it, I suppose.
Yeah. Surely that's got to be part of the recruitment, isn't it? You find out what you're dealing with in a player, because at some stage, especially if you're going to sign for United and a club of that stature, you've got to have a player. Any player, you don't know what could maybe have the character and the... To end up in a personality to be a captain. So if you've got somebody...
But that's where that character really comes into when you're playing for the big clubs. Mm. Is that bit of character? Again, I always talk about wanting the ball when you've got 70, 80,000, when you're losing a home.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that's bravery. That's where the character comes in. Because all these players, they're certainly talented. We've seen them at the big clubs, but it's just the bit underneath that. It's that personality.
You know, you're talking about sort of maybe mental health problems as well as not just sort of mentality as a footballer. I mean, I'm just... thinking of ourselves here. Obviously, we do big Manchester United games. You're the manager. Yeah. We're given big opinions.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, and probably we say things and probably don't realise the effect maybe it has on players and certainly social media. I mean, how aware are you or the dressing room of things getting picked up by we saying? And do you think that does affect players?
Definitely, 100%. Wow. You know, when you criticise players or teams, tactics or talent, but when it goes above that, it is... Because there's so many around who watch this, listen to this, and then they're on the social media, on the Twitter and all this. And they're right. And if they don't read it or hear it, friends, agents, managers, even here, you can't even turn up here without agents and managers. Some of you, I don't know who.
When it goes away from sort of tactical,
when it goes about person, character.
If we said someone was lazy or
but laziness, that's
lack of leadership.
There's, I think they listen and think about it more than you think.
Yeah.
He's just talking about the players there, but I just remember towards the end when it started to sort of, if you like, go a little bit sort of south, and you knew that sort of it was getting difficult. Yep. There were some reports, I mean, sounded to me like there were leaks at the time where Kieran McKenna, who was one of your coaches, and Michael Carrick, who have gone on since to do really good jobs.
They were starting
to be ridiculed and questioned, weren't they, at the time, wasn't they, in terms of sort of, should they be, they're too young, they're too this, they're too that. Did you feel that at the time? Did they feel that?
I felt we had a very good rapport with the players, Kieran and Michael, but there's always one or two in a team or in a squad that leak things because, they're unhappy. You know, being a manager, you play a game Saturday, you sack about 14 players every game, and you got to, next morning, you got a new job again, you got a chance next time. And there's only a certain amount of times you can say, I'll give you that game. You've got a chance. And in the end, they just go sour. And we had a big squad, too many players maybe. Mm. I know Premier League and all this it's like really intense. But if you have too many players, they get unhappy.
I think it's really interesting that because when you look at people go on about like Man City and the money they spend on the squad. Whenever you look at sort of City's bench, there's always a couple of players on it who are like young lads, you think, who's that? You know, he's a young one coming through. I think Pep Guardiola and Klopp both say that is a massive problem for you, having too many players.
Definitely.
Everyone's got to believe they've got a chance of playing.
Because it's not just leaving them from the 11, you leave them out from the 18 or 20 who are in the squad. And when you're sat on the bench or in the stands.
Yeah, but that's where you need, this is where you talk about, you know, where City are, where we were in 99, and people like the so-called players you want playing week in, week out. And I include yourself, Ollie, lads. But they're the players that get you over the line. They're the good lads. You train properly. Yep. They train properly. And there's nothing wrong with getting upset and getting pissed off. I get that. But it's when start down in tools and dragging the other players down. Yep. But what we had, you see with City, you'll see with Liverpool, we saw the weekend. It's these guys in the background who haven't been playing regularly. You're going, you're the ones who are probably going to get us the trophy at the end of it. Mm-hmm. You did, Ollie.
100%.
And that's where it was all right for us, Gary, in a sense. You know, when you're playing week in, week out, I always used to keep an eye on the lads who aren't playing regularly. And I go, and I used to obviously at United, I give credit to the kind of so-called squad players more than the starting 11 every week, because they're the ones come the end of the season where there were suspensions, obviously, including myself, injuries, and the lads would do, and you get your reward. Yeah. You got yours, Ollie. If you're a good player and you train properly, I know it's easier said than done. They're ready for it. Yeah. They're ready. You know, some lads come on and they go, and it takes them a month or two to get up to speed. You know, because in a sense, they're down tools.
I've had that. Leverkusen away. That's the next time we play them. A couple of years later, not this semi-final.
Right.
Diego Forlán. So Ruud was going to be suspended in the league. So obviously, I was in first sub, I felt.
Right.
And then the gaffer had to make a change and he put Diego Forlán on instead of me. And I lost it.
Did you?
Yeah, well, big time.
Never seen that.
Anyway, so the gaffer asks me after the game, so, because you seem very upset. So obviously I went to his office the day after, asked why. Why do you think? You probably think he's better than me. No. Ruud is suspended for 2 or 3 games. Yeah. I know you're going to play one of the games. I needed to know if Diego was ready to play to start the next game. So he's like, yeah, that's management. That's how you... Mm. So all these little gems
and you
from him.
And you believed him.
the thing is, it doesn't matter if I believed him or not. The thing is how he's thinking.
I got left out of a World Cup game.
Started the next game.
I got left out of a World Cup game once, and it was between me and another player, and they said that they left me out because I wouldn't disrupt the environment off the pitch. And I thought, God, I should have just been a knob.
Gio, you're making up for it now.
But that's exactly what Roy's talking about. I was on the bench once or twice, maybe. I just said, yeah, I'm not having this. Yeah. But regularly, you say, yeah, I'll come on and do my best. Yeah. Alan Smith, I did it.
And
Phil.
And they're good points. Is it because, yeah, again, Ollie, people should talk you a little bit, our players going, Ollie's accepting this role, or he's happy. I know that. Let me finish. I knew they were fuming. Anyone who's left out is fuming. I had a good player. But it's how they dealt with it. They're fuming, but I'll be ready if you do need me for 20 minutes or a cup game. Or, and that, to me, is what I have huge respect for players who were these so-called, that seems a strong word, like fringe players. Lads, you might play 15 games, 20 games. But they're the guys you fucking have to hang out.
It's funny because, like, even when we used to watch Ollie, where from afar, you know, he's coming off the bench, he's scoring goals. I remember the four against Forest, obviously, but in all games, against all teams. And I remember there was a time, Olds, where Tottenham were really hard after you. Did you know about it? What were you thinking?
No, I have a fax, old telefax, back in the old days, a signed fax between Alan Sugar and Martin Edwards, 5.5 million. Right. It was all agreed.
What year?
98, summer of 98. And I said no, because the gaffer asked me to... actually asked me to stay. He said, you're not going to be a first choice, but you'll play enough. And I thought, okay.
You believed him?
I played enough.
You said you believed him.
That was the treble season.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
That was the start of the treble season. So, wow. But he said to me...
Why didn't he just offer six?
But he said to me, don't tell anyone that I've said this to you, because they needed the money, apparently. And
wow.
So...
So he did, he really
after,
wanted you.
After that, when we won the treble, I felt, yeah, I can say that now.
Absolutely. Brilliant.
Yeah, so that was also good management, I felt. Because if he'd said, yeah, you're not going to play, like, say, Nicky.
Did you fancy
when Nicky knocked on the door, said, boss, I'm not playing enough. Yeah. I need to go. Oh, all right, son. Yeah. 5 million, you can go.
Yeah. Why were you such a good sub? Like, why do you think you were... Like, when you speak about... Was that the 71st minute?
Because defenders got tired and couldn't close their legs.
that was in the FA Cup game
that year.
Yeah.
But that's so important. You make the point about subs. You see some subs now on the bench, and I watch them, and I've been a manager, and lads...
They're not
watching the game, but I think, Ollie, again, there's certain lads who go, they're watching the game
tired.
Properly. They're like... They're focused to get on. So when they come on, they affect the games. Mm-hmm.
And I did feel, obviously, at United, I felt at home, privileged to play, because I'm from Kristiansund, and I don't believe that highly of myself. And I was really, really happy there, really happy. Mm. And I felt I was one of the best inside the box to score, and it was just about getting there.
So what about when all of a sudden Dwight York's coming and Andy Cole's there and then Teddy Sheringham comes? Yep. You know, you mentioned Rude was there. How are you feeling through all that? Because we're talking about some top strikers.
Yeah, no, they were good players and good lads and good characters. More important, as in, they started more games than me, but I felt, as Roy said, if I can win us 6-9 points coming on, that'd be the difference.
Wow.
So, actually, my last season, I tried to stay on for a year and just be fit enough to play for 20 minutes, but my knee just...
Knee's gone, hasn't it? I always remember every training session, that knee pack that you had on, fucking hell, like...
Tried.
Yeah. I remember there was a spell, though, because, I mean, you're talking about those players as strikers. I remember there was a spell where you became first choice as a right winger, I think.
Yes.
Beckham was on the bench for maybe I don't know if it was something personal between him and the manager, but in fact, there was like 6 to 8 weeks at the end of a season. Yeah. It was like a big Champions League game. It was a big thing about you starting and Beckham.
Real Madrid at home. Yeah, because away from home, we didn't play well enough, and Carlos told me I was going to play right wing. And you think...
Is that your mate, Carlos?
Just leave the bear inside the cage, Ollie. Don't open the cage door.
But I did feel I did have a cross in me. I could run in behind, more face forward.
It's quick enough as well. It's quicker than Beck's.
Yeah. It was quicker than Beck's.
It's quicker than Beck's.
Out of all them strikers that you named then, who was your favourite to play with?
Well, Cantona was the perfect partner for me.
I didn't even
my first season. It was only Alan and Ian Wright that scored. Ian and Alan Shearer that scored more goals than me in my first season to stop me from getting any top scorer award. Cantona was perfect when I was young because I had more legs. Later on, I felt play with Rude was nice.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Rude's the best finisher I played with by a mile.
Clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could score a goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just going back one step to the management side of it all, you said about before about sort of you still obviously want to go back into it, but what would be the sort of things that you said about obviously taking it on my terms, but what do you think at United specifically you thought you may have done wrong? What would you change about what you did at United? Because you're never going to be able to dictate at a club like Manchester United, are you?
I've thought a lot about this, obviously. And as I said here before, the right thing was to sign Cristiano. But if I think it would have turned out better maybe for Cristiano and for us if he hadn't signed.
Wow.
That's the headline. But
There you go!
Yeah, but seriously, it was the right decision to make it.
But
I found myself in probably Roy did as well at times, a really sort of difficult position on television around that time. You know that.
Yeah.
Where, we were never, ever going to stick the knife into you. It's never going to happen. And also, Cristiano's a player for United that we respect enormously, one of the greatest players of all time.
Yep.
But when I saw him, obviously, on the bench, sort of like, doing the things to the camera, I felt that, and obviously after the Everton game, when you left him out that first time and you remember you walked off, I felt that was letting you down because he was next teammate of yours. That's why I felt a little bit sort of, because he's a great player. Yeah. I mean, he's immovable as an object in terms of what he's achieved. And I thought he should have been with you as your ally to sort of drive that dressing room forward. And you know what I mean? And obviously I remember the times we had as players in that dressing room. That's where I felt sort of a conflict in terms of thinking, come on, Cristiano, you're here now to sort of be that leader in the dressing room. You are the man. You know what I mean? So that's where we found ourselves. I don't know if you know Roy at the time. We had a lot of arguments at the time, didn't we?
Of course we did. Yeah, a lot of debate.
That was part of the signing him. You got Mason and Marcus.
Martial.
Learn off Cristiano. He's the best. He's the most disciplined. He's been the best player in the world. And you think he's going to help them. And when Cristiano says to me, start me three, put me on the bench. One in four.
Yeah.
But he's so passionate. So whenever you leave him out, he's like...
But that's your expectation. That you know, when you talk about him getting upset, but that just shows...
It wasn't the upset, right? It was the public upset. It was like inside the dressing room, no problem, but just know the impact.
But he's got his flaws, like everybody else. Because you want him to be... Like what Ronaldo was doing at the time, I got it why people criticise him. And was it Brentford? Did his boot and he was shit? I'm not sitting there going, like, you're getting a thumbs up from me for that behaviour. But that's part of his. That's a flaw he's got in his game.
But how can it be right? He's
not
told him
it's right.
The manager's told him you're gonna. He said I want three and then one, and then he does it, and then he gives him the faces. And so
it wasn't even just the manager. He said that to you, hasn't he?
Cristiano, to me, I can't really remember too many problems. As in, was that the Everton? Yeah, he walked straight off after he came on. There was more problems after I'd left, because I think...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
Cristiano and I had a good relationship, and there's loads of respect there. So I think he behaved really well in his disappointments when I was there. I think so.
But obviously, even when you left afterwards, remember, I think he was down at Chelsea, remember? Yeah. Michael Carrick took one.
Yeah, that was the
and
first game.
Yeah, it was on about he's left him open. He was fuming. And we'll argue all day, but what makes these unbelievable great players, that's why they play 60, 70, 80 games a season, is because they're fucking passionate.
Did he say stuff in the dressing room?
No, Cristiano was trying to be a leader in there, and obviously it's...
Oh, you see, you, Bruno Fernandes was amazing, wasn't he, when he first came. Yeah. Unbelievable for you. He's now captain of Manchester United. Did you think of him as being sort of like the captain of Manchester United when you were there?
He's got captain personalities and qualities. He knows, I've told him, he's too passionate at times. He loses a little bit of that control. Mm. I loved Harry as a captain. He was the leader in that group for me when I was there.
What do you make of what's happened to him since? Obviously, the captain's been stripped off him.
The way he's handled himself, top class, just shows the character. For me, what I want in players, they dig in, don't jump off ship at the first opportunity, stay in there and do the best you can.
He was playing well in that first season and a half for you, two seasons. He played well in that first part.
When he came in, it was different class. Came in and it compared... I still remember the first training session, he looks like a man mountain compared to the others, and he came... And gradually, obviously, his criticism.
But people talk about Maguire a lot, and maybe because obviously he's English and the money paid, and he's that money. But no one's ever sat and criticised his.
No, I'm saying about the captain's been taken off.
Yeah, but even people say like he's a great player. But the criticism is his performances. No one's ever sat there and he's lost the captaincy and he wasn't a regular and there's just part of his game that he needs to do better on. I think that was the...
What was the turning point for Harry, do you think, in terms of Ollie, from what you saw?
Was that summer? Summer in
the incident in holiday.
In Mykonos or whatever it was. That's not an easy
thing. He had a bigger impact on him than... Yeah,
I think he had a great impact on him.
I always felt that situation, and then Ronaldo coming in and almost being this huge figure, and Harry, as you said, he was almost like the leader of this team that was growing, and then, boom, Ronaldo's come. And I always think those two situations, he found it very difficult mentally, I think. And you have to say, I think, you know, as you said, he done well when he first came in. That is probably a slight flaw, because when you're out at Manchester United, the expectation mentally to deal with poor performance and criticism, you've got to overcome that. And I think it... I don't think he's ever recovered.
But have you ever been to Mykonos? It's expensive, isn't it?
The lawyers are.
The hotel prices.
What about Jadon Sancho? You look at Jadon Sancho. Yeah. He's obviously gone now. He's at Dortmund on loan. And why do you think that didn't work out for him? The kind of player he is. And...
I didn't really have enough or long enough with Jadon to analyse him that way. He was unlucky because he'd been on holiday. He signed for us. He went on holiday. Come back with an infected ear, and he stayed in a hospital for a week or so, and so he was way low on fitness when he started in the middle of the the season started, and he never got going when I was there. So, and obviously, it's him, Marcus. They prefer the wide left more than the wide right. Yeah. So, no, I never got him going.
It was an obsession for about 18 months of chasing Jadon Sancho, though, wasn't it? It was the longest transfer saga in the world. I suspect then that means that everybody was bought into that this is the right play. We desperately need this lad.
Yeah, that was everyone was in alignment. He's the one. Obviously, you need to play him in his in the way that he needs to play, with his link-up play. And he's not a runner in behind Jadon. He is more of a link-up player. Play, run, have it back, because he's creative. He's got a great brain on him, and just didn't work.
To come away from the sort of Manchester United managerial stuff, going back to Manchester United, the player 25 years ago, probably a few months away from it, you're scoring probably... Yeah, the goal that is probably the greatest single moment in Manchester United's history.
Yeah.
And probably the most memorable moment in Manchester United's history. How do you sort of look back upon that 25 years? Sort of how that moment sits with you now and what you think about that moment?
When you play, you don't think about all this, do you? You score a goal, you do your role. And after, that's when you realise how big it was for the club. And everyone saying, you gave me the best night of my life and blah, blah, blah. Just went on tour, or not on tour, did a couple of Q&As in India with two lads from Jake and Stephen, two Man United fans. Just
a charity?
Born. Yeah. Not everyone gives me food. I need to pay for the food as well. So he was born 9 months after Jake. So obviously, Stephen says that I'm half part of him being
his
alive.
Conception.
Being alive. So that night was fantastic. And it was just so important for everyone connected to Man United. For me, when Teddy scored, I was thinking, thank fuck, I'm going to play 30 minutes in Champions League final.
Yeah.
Extra time. And then we get the winner. So... Yeah. I was always about developing and getting better. I hope you agree. I did like
absolutely,
to train,
yeah.
improve. So I thought I'm going to improve by playing extra minutes. When I scored that goal, obviously that didn't happen, and I knew I wasn't going to be a better player from it. But all the media exposure just ballooned.
What about, I read somewhere that you read that you had a feeling for that. You had a feeling something was going to happen for you that night.
You know when you're on the bench or before a game, you think you're going to score. You're always positive. Yeah. You're always an optimist. Strikers are always optimists. You two should be pessimists. We always think. But that day was more than just a hoping.
Passing feeling.
Yeah, it was just strange. Remember Jimmy Ryan saying,
be ready, you. Yeah, I know. Wow. I know something's going to be happening
ready.
To me.
Is it the best day ready, of your life?
Football-wise, yeah, I would say so.
You have
yeah.
to say that.
Yeah, you have to say that.
No,
yeah,
but the thing is that the goal? I was at home excited about, can you imagine he's just come and scored a win? You know, I was excited at home.
It was incredible.
It was yeah. mental.
You should have seen arrows.
The thing is, I was so pissed off for half an hour. So pissed off for half an hour with that, because the gaffer spoke to Teddy at half-time.
Yes.
Prepared him to come on, and he's like, he never spoke to me. He just said, you're on, something. And then that season, I scored about 17, 18. Teddy scored 4 or 5, whatever. Mm. And he, as you are, you're selfish, aren't you?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you not putting me on? Yeah. And then it was wow. one of them, when you ask about me as a sub,
yeah.
I had that, I'm going to fucking show you.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what the gaffer knew as well when he put me on the bench, that I was never going to...
And Teddy scored a few days before that in the cup final, of course,
yeah, exactly.
as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
Teddy
yeah.
had a tough yeah. season, but came on and scored huge goals. Yeah.
Teddy was a top partner to have. He was similar to Cantona, because I could play a different role. Because I was then you were the higher one, the right. number nine. He's yeah. more of a 9.5, 10. Call it whatever you want now. But when with Ruud, I was more the... drop in yeah. the number 10 and play him through. So,
but if you scored against Leverkusen, you could have done
could have got the full 90.
Exactly. If you just close him down. No.
Ollie, do you remember, I mean, is it a time stood still moment where you put your leg up in the air and it hits it and it goes into the back? Do you still remember it's the action of doing it, or is it just instinctive?
I don't think I can remember. I remember more Coley and Phil and everyone just strangling me after. Celebrating. It's one of them. Gold, as is, I practiced and practiced and practiced all sorts of finishes. Never practiced that toe poke. You don't.
Instinct.
That just happens.
It's brilliant.
It's one of them. Kufur is one of the better centre backs at the time, man Marcus, and he just grabbed hold of me. But the ball goes to Teddy, and he's like, he's let go of me. And then you can stretch out your legs. It's just split-second wow. margins wow. in football.
I feel like I'm there.
Yes.
I don't want you to summarise sort of. What your first thoughts were, because obviously when you first stepped into the dressing room at United, we obviously remember you just looking like an absolute, yeah. you know, like a kid. But what do you remember from your sort of early days at United and what you walked into?
Good lads. I was so nervous. I'm telling you, I was so nervous coming there from, obviously, I was a bit self-conscious. I wasn't the most mature.
Were you a Liverpool fan growing up, by the way? Was that something? I know it's never been something you want to admit.
You,
no,
you learn as long as you live. That's the only, probably the only player that's played for Man United that when he was, because I was a member of the supporters club.
Liverpool Sports Club.
Liverpool.
Yeah. There was four of you in it. Yeah.
I never bothered ringing them, obviously, after I signed to stop that membership.
Did Liverpool ever come in for you? Was there ever any scouts around Liverpool?
There was a time, yeah, not long before, they were interested, but it never came in. Mm. It was actually PSV, Calgary and Bayern Munich. Before United, but United had to go to. Yeah. Yeah, coming in.
Yeah. So go back.
Nervous, self-conscious, nervous. Nicky is the first one I meet outside of the, on the parking lot, and he's like, "Hi, I'm Ollie. Come on, yeah, welcome. I'm Nicky." He took me down to the dressing room, and he's just they put me next to you because I sat next to you for 11 years. I mean, it was just everyone's normal. We're all normal lads. We play football. But you're so nervous when you've only seen him on telly.
Yeah.
It was nerve-wracking.
You'd seen Gary on telly?
He had my number. I went on this India tour, so Ollie, he inherited the iconic number 20 at Man United, they said, when I was there. And you had it before me.
It's good, true that. I was 27, then 20 that season, and then basically 2 that season, and you moved to 20, yeah?
Yeah.
Was Gary really... Was he? I can imagine how serious he must have been.
You went through phases, you, and a phase you were a photographer. Remember that time?
Yeah.
Honestly,
I was so excited.
Naked
lads. Gary Bailey.
Gary Bailey.
Do you know what?
So
I recognised that actually taking photographs of this amazing team and players in moments would be... I've actually got quite a few of the pictures at home.
So bring them in.
Yeah, I should do a gallery.
He just said you were naked in the changing room.
You framed one from behind.
No, you are a wrong un.
Yeah. Hey, it's a football.
Dressing room shots that I knew would be iconic. I've actually still got them.
We can bring them in. I'll try and bring them in the dressing room.
You mean it?
I mean, you've got a club photographer. What are you doing?
No, but they don't get in the dressing room. So we'd started doing it with England. Remember Simon Mooney with England, whereby you get dressing room shots? It was brilliant. And I thought, do you know something? No one's capturing this as it happens. I thought, I'm going to be a photographer.
I want to know the other phases.
Yeah, before then, you went through a phase buying all these pictures.
Yeah, I've still got them to this day. Photography, black and white photographs from famous photographers, and just went through this phase of doing it.
I love that. I love that, Gav. What are you learning about you, Gav?
There's hidden things here, the mystical character.
Right?
Maverick.
Never shuts up.
I remember... I really admired him for getting as much as he did out of his talent.
In photography.
And then obviously his brother Phil across the way. What would that be like? Because you're looking at
across the way.
And then you're looking at him across the. And is that your brother?
We won the Champions League without you being able to do one pull up. Remember after we won the Champions League, we started doing these pull ups.
Oh, you were Mike, like, yeah. Couldn't do pull ups.
He couldn't do one.
I can't do pull ups.
Now if you.
I got to the point where I could do 3 sets of 10 now.
Yeah. Wow.
3 years later. I wouldn't be done. I threw a kettle over the pub.
I need a camera on his neck when he was doing
that. Ollie, what about your relationship with Roy? Can move off me quickly.
Yeah, well, that's been... how should we say that?
It's been good.
It's been decent. Because he always moaned and shouted at me, and that's how I knew he cared. And he felt that I could help the team. So, I remember, I'm not sure if you know this.
He remembers everything, Ollie.
I'm not sure if you know this.
Usually happens.
Tottenham away, down there, White Hart Lane, we're counter-attacking, and I make a bad decision of not passing to you just before half-time, and you giving me everything, absolutely all sorts of insults, and half-time, and you're about 15, 20 yards ahead of me, and I've lost it. I'm going to have
you
as well.
Nice one.
I was going to come for you. And
there was a queue, was there?
Yeah, there was a queue. And Carlos, again, Carlos stopped me. He's not worth it, Ollie. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
And then for who?
I'd be absolutely dead.
See, Carlos saved you. He was looking out for you.
It's one of them that he...
we had good days together.
Yeah,
good days.
We've looked at, obviously, a little bit there about the dressing room, looked at your job at United, but what do you make of United now? You're 2 years out and you watch what's happening to Erik ten Hag at the moment. Do you feel a little do you feel a bit déjà vu, I've seen this before?
No, definitely, because it's that inconsistency again. Play well for a time and... You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing for a manager. If you don't know what you're going to get from your team, it's horrible. Absolutely horrible. That's why when you have a Fred, Scott, Nemanja, you have players who you know they're going to give you 7, 8 out of 10 every time. They're going to give you everything. That's the best feeling you got.
Fred?
Yeah.
7 a.m.
Yeah. Fred was...
Sure, but
I really liked him in midfield. His legs.
That's the main
thing. They needed them legs in midfield.
But it's interesting you say that, because we say that, I think, we've talked about it so many times, we have no idea how they can be so inconsistent, so up and down, so unpredictable. It's just a mystery. It's a mystery. How do you put your finger on it? When you look at it, when you've obviously been in it, when you've experienced at United back in the day, the consistency levels,
We talk about back in the day. We had Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool at times. The rest of the games, we should win. Now there's more better teams, everyone's fitter, all these tactical analysis, everyone's more prepared, well prepared, you can change, it's more tactical. And it's not easy to turn up or to know that they're going to beat them. It's more or less Man City that you know they're going to beat most of them.
And it's, I think it's evened out.
And do you think the change of ownership now, obviously you speak of this a lot and you talk about like recruitment and we talk about alignment and everyone's got to be on the same page. Do you believe that will make a huge difference or will it be down to sort of a great manager whether Ten Hag becomes that or the next person who comes in? It's really down to them to get hold of the football.
I don't think there's a magic wand as in we've changed the owners. But obviously they've got their set and way of working. The Glazers have still got their commercial. Who knows how it's going to be in football? That side of it with obviously Eric. I hope he's going to be successful. We hope he's going to make it. But you never know what the new owners are thinking. Mm-hmm. So it's about results, consistency the rest always, of the season.
Always.
Right, well, Ollie, to finish, right.
What you got now?
What you got now?
We've got a little surprise, right? We've got a little.
It's for all of us.
No, it's not. It's for Roy and Ollie.
Oh, brilliant.
We thought we'd finish with a little bit of competition between, you know, they started off having a little battle at the start. And we thought we'd finish with a little battle, which is basically six questions based on the semi-final versus Leverkusen.
So basically, is this?
So basically, it's 1 point each question, and it's you take it in turns.
Three each. Then.
Three each. Yeah. Roy, who scored both of the Leverkusen goals in the first leg?
Alec.
You know, there's two scorers. You know. Balak's one of them.
Balak's one.
Oh. So you got two, Balak.
Finished 2-2.
Never the Brazilian centre half who last.
Lucio.
Oh, Lucio. I'm just, that's a guess, but.
No. It was Neuville.
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 Just after he came on.
Yeah.
Right. Neuville. Okay.
Right, so, Ollie, your first question is which former Manchester United player got subbed on for Leverkusen in the first leg?
Dimitar.
Yeah, Dimitar Berbatov. Right? I didn't even pronounce it. It's unbelievable, that.
Yes, Ollie. I'm Team Ollie. Yeah.
Roy?
On, did he get half a point for the first one?
Yeah, he got half a point.
I wouldn't have got that one, to be fair.
Yeah. Roy, when Gary Neville got injured in the first leg, who came on for him as substitute?
The first leg?
I went off after 17 minutes, I think. Broke my foot.
Where's off, Phil?
Is it someone should know?
I'm going to say Phil. Is that too obvious?
Wes.
It was Phil.
Was it Phil?
Oh. Yeah.
I was going to say.
1.5 points. Brilliant. Ollie, in the second leg when Roy scored, who assisted him?
Oh. Well, it was kind of a dribbler and down, wasn't
it? He assisted.
There's no assist.
No, it can't be an assist. It must have been an individual goal.
Brilliant, yeah.
Must have been a cross from Wes.
No chance.
No, it was Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Wow.
Oh. Oh.
One of his two assists.
So I'm in
Roy?
I'm in front.
You're in front, 1.5-1.
Don't bottle
Roy.
It.
This is to win it. Who did Ollie come on for in the second leg?
Oh, fucking hell. These are tough questions. Mm. Jesus, good question, man. It's a good question.
Because he would. Seminal games.
I don't think he took strike of a strike.
No,
bro.
I think he would have been a gambler. We need a goal. Did
he take a fullback off?
I'm going to say. I just have a feeling.
Off? Oh,
he would have left. If Scholes, he would have played, wouldn't he? Scholes, he played.
Scholes, he put the pass into the box.
He would have gone for him.
I think it was Scholes.
So Keane and Scholes are still on.
Nicky Butt. Sorry.
I've got to go, maybe Potty.
One of the wide players. Defender,
but he wouldn't have had to go mad gamble yet.
One of the wide players.
I got Botty.
Oh, you got him to the right answer, right?
Exactly. No, I would have gone Botty. Yeah. I would have gone Botty.
He would have gone Botty.
Yes, Nicky Butt. That's
made
the winner.
Change in midfielder.
And the last question is obviously it doesn't matter. But who did Leverkusen go on to lose in the final two?
Easy, fucking
Zidane.
Hell.
Zidane's Botty. Yeah, oh.
Glasgow. Ollie, you had easy questions.
Ollie, that was one of the most. Ollie, that was one of the most beautiful 1.5 hours that I've had in a long time.
With me, yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was amazing.
Nice.
Amazing.
Well brilliant, done. Ollie.
Guys,
thank you.
Thank you. Thanks,
well done. It was amazing.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Right.
Now there's a nice guy.
That's amazing. Another great lad.
Nice one.
Brilliant. Well done.
Gary, get on that camera.
I've never seen this picture of all the arms.
Take clothes off.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.